Neuro myth debunking the misconception about our brain. Fake news have become a hot topic, but the deliberate disinformation of the general public via traditional outlets or social media goes beyond the news. There is also an alarming rise in fake science. The brain and the mind feel extremely familiar. We do spend a lot of our time inside our heads. That's why it's easy to disseminate false but great-sounding information about the brain. This is what a neuro myth is, an erroneous belief about how the brain works that is held by a large number of people. Let's explore a few of them. Five popular beliefs about the brain that are actually neuro myths. Neuroscience is pretty young. Neuroimaging technologies have been developed over the last 20 years. As a result, it's an ever-evolving field and it's pretty hard to separate fact from fiction. Here are a few of the most common neuro myths, how they come about, and why they are wrong. We only use 10% of our brain. This neuro myth was the basis of at least two sci-fi film, Neil Burger's Limitless, starring Bradley Cooper and Luc Besson's Lucy, starring Scarlett Johansson. The poster for Lucy doesn't shy away from this incorrect belief. The average person uses 10% of their brain capacity. It says people love this myth because it makes them feel good. It means that you may have some huge amount of untapped potential which could unlock it through you the right techniques or tools. Marketers also love this myth because it helps them sell dubious products that are supposed to let you access the remaining 90% of your brain capacity. First, there's a lot of evidence showing that whatever an individual is doing, even if they're told to just lay down in the scanner and not to do anything, pretty much all of the areas of the brain are active. Second, it makes no evolutionary sense to have an organ that is 90% unused, especially when it comes to the brain, which uses a staggering 20% of the body's energy, despite being only 2% of its weight. That means probably comes from William James, widely considered as the father of psychology, who wrote that it's unlikely most people will ever reach 10% of their potential. Somehow, this became 10% of their brain. We are either right-brained or left-brained. Every day, there are businesses paying for workshops, teaching their employees that they are either right-brained, artistic expression and creativity, or left-brained, local thoughts and calculations. I don't have a reference to back this up, and it may not be true, but it is a fact that many people do believe this, and there are a lot of books being sold that promote this very incorrect idea. But imagine, studies show that both parts of the brain are active when people are engaged in creative tasks. There is absolutely no reason to think that certain forms of thinking, say creative versus rational thinking, are localized in a specific hemisphere of the brain. Want to have a good laugh? There's an article on WikiHow telling you to breathe through your left nostril to activate your brain right side, to exercise the right side of your brain. At least they admit that it's not supported by rigorous science. We have multiple intelligence. The Harvard psychologist Howard Gardner came up with the theory of multiple intelligence in the 1980s. And I say came up with because there wasn't any actual data involved with this theory. It was just Gardner's opinion that there are multiple intelligence with variable levels among people. He started with a list of seven intelligence: music, rhythmic, visual, spatial, verbal, linguistic, logical, mathematical, bodily, kinesthetic, interpersonal, intrapersonal, but because it wasn't enough, he then added a few more, still without any data to back his claim. Naturalistic, existential, and more than intelligence. He even suggested cooking intelligence and sexual intelligence as potential candidates. First, Gardner called intelligence cool simply because skills. Second, research shows that all skills are not broadly independent from one another. People who tend to do well on one type of test tend to do well in them all. That's called general intelligence, and it has way more tangible evidence to support it than the theory of multiple intelligence. We know that the book Frame of Mind, the theory of multiple intelligence by Gardner, has nothing to do with my own mind framing for mindful productivity. IQ tests just tell you how good you are at doing IQ tests. This was one of the most surprising ones for me, because I didn't believe in this neuromyth before writing this article. And it's actually a lecture of King College debunking this myth that prompted me to write this article. According to my lecturer, the amazing Dr. Stuart Ritchie, while IQ tests are certainly flawed in all sorts of ways, they are some of the most reliable and predictive tests that exist in the whole of psychological science. A study with almost a million men who did an IQ test as part of the military service in Sweden showed that the higher the IQ, the longer they lived. I will write a whole article about this, but many studies have shown that IQ tests do predict mortality as well as educational attainment, work success, physical and mental health, and many other things. The myth that IQ tests only tell you how good you are at IQ tests has been pretty much debunked. People have different learning styles. I already mentioned this neuromyth in my article about learning how to learn, but it was mentioned again because it's also a pretty popular neuromyth. The learning style theory states that people differ in the way they learn, which is due to some innate property of their brains and that teaching should be customized to their particular learning style. According to that theory, some people have more of visual learning style or than an auditory learning style, etc. This sounds elegant, but completely wrong. Research shows that changing the teaching method has no impact on student success based on their preferred learning style. In short, we do have a preferred learning style, on one that feels more comfortable, but using another one has no impact on our performance. We don't use different learning styles, we just have different learning preferences. There are many, many other neuromyths, and I may write a follow-up article, but what's crazy is that it's not only the general public that believe them.